Yeah, I don't know what they said either. Hey, I am glad you're here. I want to invite you to stand with me as we read from God's Word together. This is Psalm 29, a psalm of David. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord glory, do his name, worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters, the God of glory thunders, the Lord over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon to skip like a calf, and Sirion like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. And in his temple all cry, glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as king forever. May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. Let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this moment in time where we get to look at your word and learn how to pray together. As we see examples throughout the book of Psalms of ways to do this, just to really tease out our faith before you, seeing that there's a variety of ways to use these ancient just songs and prayers, Lord God, to apply them in our modern life. Father, we thank you for this and love you in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know about you, but praying sometimes is difficult. We want to like make it so right and so perfect. And anytime somebody calls on us to pray publicly, we're like, pass. And so we have this issue. And even in our private life, we struggle to pray because we feel like we got to be super articulate to this holy God. He's so audacious and amazing. And we've got to find some way just to speak directly to him in a right way. But reality is he knows our hearts. And what I love too is it says in Romans 8, the Spirit intercedes for us with words we can't even utter. Because he knows the mind of the will of God, and he prays according to that will. And for us, just to kind of be quickened with this reality that we get to address a holy God even in our brokenness. And we get to do so because of the work of Christ on our behalf. So over this summer, our desire is that you would begin to pray. Like right now in the summertime, some of us are in the nitty-gritty of our life, but most of us are kind of taken back a little bit. And so the hope is that we'll learn this discipline of praying through the Psalms so that when things get a little hectic in August and beyond, that we'll be prepared. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at a variety of different Psalms. And so today we're dealing with a Psalm about praise. Next week we're dealing with a Psalm about lamenting. The following week, dealing with a psalm about thanksgiving, and then kingship, then confidence, and then where we get wisdom from. And the hope is that you'll take a psalm that we deal with on a Sunday, and you'll take that psalm, and throughout that week, for 7 days, you'll go through that text and begin to pray through that psalm and see God move in your life in the way that we talk about. The other thing, too, that's beneficial is there's a companion guide to this. Some of our teammates at Grace wrote a companion guide that you could find on the app. It's PDF form or on the website, and you can download it and begin to study with us as we go through these individual psalms. So with praise, though, the one we're dealing with today, we know that we usually pray and praise God after, like, he blesses us, kind of hooks us up. And so we're like, God, you did so great. I can't believe you blessed me with this thing or that thing. Maybe even he's blessed us with something that we longed for or didn't even know we needed, and God blessed us, and so we praise him. But here's the great thing, is that we have defined this thing about worship as an appropriate response, here it is, to the awareness of God. You need to know that God is present even when things don't seem blessed. God is there in the hard, in the difficult. In the moments where you're just like squeaking by, God is present. In like manner, praise comes about when we understand that the gifts that God gives us and has done this aren't always the easy things. And we can praise God then. Praising God does this work of grounding us and helping us see the providence of God in our lives, how he has so met us right here in the midst of our hard life. The other thing that praise does is praise creates an intimate space between you and the Lord, allowing him to speak directly to your heart as you lift him up and you're rightly focused on his goodness and grace in your life. So when you praise him, it benefits you. What's great about this text of scripture that I just read is in 11 verses, the covenant name of the Lord, Yahweh, is mentioned 18 times. When I say the covenant name of the Lord, this is the name that he gave Moses after he had that burning bush experience, Yahweh. When he understood that this is the God of the universe who is speaking to us, and whatever he says he will do because he's a covenant-keeping God, and the name Yahweh proves it. The other thing that's great about this particular psalm is the voice of the Lord is mentioned 7 times. So God uttering words from his mouth is mentioned 7 times. Now, what's great is David writes this psalm, and he gives, when he talks about the voice of the Lord, that's called an anthropomorphism. That's God being seen through human qualities or traits. And so we see that him uttering this, but he is spirit. And again, this is a psalm of David, which is important, as we'll see in a second. So Psalm 29, verse 1 says this, ascribe to the Lord. In other words, give to this God of this covenant-keeping God, give to him. And he's going to talk about what to give and who to give. Give to the Lord. Ascribe to him. Praise him because he is worthy. Lift him up above all things. It says, oh, heavenly beings. Heavenly beings here are those who surround the throne of God. Even those beings are to ascribe to the Lord what's due his name. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Acknowledge the majesty and weight of who he is and the strength in which he brings. Ascribe to the Lord glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Now, I don't know if you know this, but because we are marred by sin and broken, holiness is not a natural option for us. Our only option to experience holiness is the work of Christ on our behalf. It's him imputing his righteousness, giving us, bestowing on us his righteousness so that when we worship him and praise him, we do so under the blood of Jesus, singing back to him, praise, do his name as a result of God's grace in our life. The other thing that's good too is we're ascribing to him, not some other being, not some celebrity, not some famous person, ascribing to the Lord who is only worthy of being praised. What's great here is David is speaking to his own heart, but it's also speaking to the heart of each one of us as we consider this majestic God. And he's observing, it's the description for verses 3-8 and 9 really help us see that it's as if he's watching a storm take place. I don't know if any of you sat out on your porches or went outside a few weeks ago when we had those crazy storms. Maybe you just went inside and said, I'm going to drink some tea and just hang out. But all those trees falling down and the lightning and the wind and the thunder, all those things are just testimonies of God's grace, believe it or not. And here, what David does is he's sitting back and talking about this work of God, and he's using these physical pictures to really illustrate it, and he's using this picture of a storm. So look with me in verse 3. The voice of the Lord is over the waters, which is incredible. That one statement, you think, no big deal. Okay, he's above waters. Well, think about the audience. These are a group of people who are hearing this, some of which themselves, whether knew or did directly, worship water as a god. And he is saying by this statement that the Lord of the universe is over the waters. He's over any god that you have on this earth. The Lord is over the waters and in control of it. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. You think, okay, specific trees, great. Well, what's powerful here is these specific trees are the trees that illustrated the might and power of man. In fact, they were considered a luxury to be able to build your house with. In fact, God even called the people to build his temple with these type of trees. And so when he's saying here that the voice of the Lord shatters these things into splinters, he's saying how powerful he is. Verse 6, he makes Lebanon to skip like a calf, a whole nation of people like bounce around and dance like a calf, or in Syrian, like a young wild ox, because the earth was quaking. The voice of the Lord flashes flames of fire, lightning coming down from heaven. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. Like, this is just the uttering of God's voice over creation, and these things are quaking. And for some reason, you and I have this tendency to not respond in like manner. We make God, the God of the universe, who has this power, who has this enthronement, as if he's just a fraction of our lives, with no humility, no awe, no worship. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare, and in his temple, all cry glory. They all bear the weight of God's glory among them. But you and I act as though it's no big deal. We are inundated with our schedules. And if we have time for it, maybe we'll praise God. Maybe. This is the God of the universe who spoke all these things into being. And that's very akin to what we see in Job towards the end when God finally responds to Job. It says, where were you when I did all this? And Job's like, okay. Some of us need that where were you moment, because we've gotten to a place where we're too filled with ourselves and we don't want to ascribe to the Lord what's due his name. The truth in this psalm is that the God who sits enthroned over all creation has power to do as he pleases. With the breath of his mouth, he subdues these massive trees, right? He goes in and like strips bare the forest. In the presence of such a God of all creation, the only thing that we really should be able to give is glory to him. Not your leftovers. God's word, when he voices these things, is utterly unique. Unlike the words that you and I may try to like manufacture or come up with, everything that we say with our words and the power therein is contingent. All our will is contingent and dependent upon him. So why in the world would we anchor our lives on the words of man? Some celebrity saying or validating this thing that you're into, using your little echo chamber you called social media to validate who you are, when you've got a God of all glory who wants to speak to you, wants to know you, and calls you to praise him, and it's for your good. And we anchor our lives on these menial things. The great thing about God's word is it's never overturned. Isaiah 55:11 says this, right? The word of the Lord never turns back, returns empty. That's the whole point of this psalm. The power of the voice of the Lord, the covenant-keeping God who is faithful over all the universe. Consider the power of the voice of the Lord. Just a few examples that you know about. In the book of Genesis, the voice of the Lord creates everything out of nothing. With Elijah the prophet, there was an opportunity for him to hear the voice of the Lord from like wind and like fire and rain and storm and all that stuff, but it was in a still small voice that he heard the voice of the Lord. For the disciples who were losing their mind in the storm as Jesus took a little nap, it was the voice of the Lord that said, "Peace, be still." And then I want you to see with me in verse 10. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood that took over the whole world. And the Lord sit above that. The Lord sits enthroned as King forever. You know, we use words like forever. I'm going to love you forever. Okay. What's the point of him saying that Lord is enthroned forever? The point is, that means if anything about this God is, everything he said is faithful. You can trust it. Because if he's enthroned forever, that means the things he says is forever. That means everything he says he will do forever. How many of you need to know the power of a God who keeps his promises? That really, truly keeps his promises. We break promises like it's nothing. This is a God who keeps his promises. Now, many of us get excited about the fact that God keeps his promises when everything's going our way, when it looks like, hey, you hooked me up. Praise God, you kept your promise. No, it's in those moments that are the bleakest, the darkest, where we are energized and driven both to fear-filled awe worship and at the same time just praise. God, you were there in my darkest hour. You saw me when no one else saw me because you are faithful and true. You keep your word. And then, you know, as I mentioned earlier, some of you are kind of too big for your britches, but then there's some of you on the other end that are so filled with self-disdain that you need to know that you think that you are small and insignificant, but the God of the universe sees and knows you even there. Even you, he knows and loves. Even you. The Lord sits enthroned over all that you have walked in and through. Some of you have gone through some extremely hard things. Things that you would never wish on your enemy. And in the midst of those moments, you're reminded that God is good. And he is faithful. Some of you are actually in that moment now. You're in that storm, something that is causing you to quake, something where you fear the flood of chaos around you. And God in his grace in that place is causing you not to sit there and be defeated, but to praise him in the midst of it. To see him there, to see him high and lifted up there. And here's what's great about this phrase here in verse 10. He sits. He's not standing, pacing about, worried, trying to figure out what's the next move. He sits. He's not shaken by what's shaking you. He sits enthroned above it all, sovereign and good above it all. I think sometimes we forget the goodness of the fact that God sits. That means he is faithful. He's not looking for some plan to rearrange or reroute you. He's already got it. And his plans are good. Verse 11, he gives us benediction. This closing statement to kind of encapsulate all that he just gave as a word of praise. May the Lord give strength to his people. Do you know that you need strength to do what God calls you to do? Which means you don't have it yourself, and he has it to give. And you can depend on him to provide it. The other thing which is great here, may the Lord, this is call to them, may the Lord bless his people with peace. We're not talking about like late 60s, early 70s peace. We're talking about like for real peace. Because you have a conflict with the God of the universe because of your sin. You have this breach between him, and the Lord is bringing about peace so that you can be one with him, whole with him. And think about what good that is to the stress in your life. That you can rest in, depend on the strength and peace that God brings. In fact, Paul talks about it. Do not be anxious about anything, but with everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, this peace. So what would it look like if you and I begin to praise the Lord despite the circumstances we're in? Good or bad, we're going to praise him. Everything going our way or everything against us, we're going to praise him. We're going to ascribe to the Lord what's due his name, whether we're swimming in chaos or in a kiddie pool. We're going to ascribe to the Lord what's due his name. How would it affect the way that we move forward in our life if we were grounded in God's providence, knowing that he's faithful and good to deliver what is good for the glory of his name to us, grounded in knowing that God is gracious and kind, and that as he does so, he draws us near. When we praise him, he draws us in. And you still praise him. What would be different in your life? How would it affect the way that you see one another if you knew that there was a God who was faithful and you ascribe to him the glory due his name? So what I want to invite you to do with us this week, as I said at the outset, take Psalm 29 this week. 11 verses, and just begin to pray over it. Ask the Lord to reveal to you, as you talk to him, his word back to him. Lord, show me where I'm not ascribing to you. Show me how your voice is speaking through your word. Show me, Lord, and help me respond in like manner. Show me. So let me pray for us as we consider that. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the fact that it will always accomplish what you say it will accomplish, and that's something we can depend on. Lord, I pray that your spirit, your power, and presence would meet us in the midst of the chaos of our storm right here. And Lord God, that in that we would praise you. We would lift you up. Lord, as we just really pray through your word and begin to see what it looks like just to really be engaged by and challenged by, shaped by your word as we pray it back to you, Lord, I pray that you would do this work and that you would receive the glory for it. Father, I thank you for this. We thank you for your plans and that you are faithful and good. We thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Please stand as we